are good, and thank you that you are good. I offer this morning up to you. I ask that your Holy Spirit fill each of our hearts with exactly what it is that you want us to know about just how good you are. And I ask this in your Son's name. Amen. God is good. All the time. Y'all got ahead of me. I'm ending with that today. But we'll do it again. That was just the warm-up. Okay, I don't really have a lot of announcements. The first announcement is, if you'll notice when you drive in the mornings, this parking lot over to this side has some orange cones in it, and it's meant for preschool parking. Sorry, I'll try and get this fixed. So if y'all will not park in that, we would appreciate that. If you are new this week, there are calendars and cover sheets and bookmarks, and if you need a name tag, sign out there, and we will get you a name tag. That's all I've got. So, we have a story this morning from our sweet Jill Tanaka, who is there.
Good morning. Many of you know that I've had a crazy summer, but that's not what I'm going to talk about, because my crazy summer, I haven't even been able to process yet, and it continues on, and how would I ever talk about it for 3 to 5 minutes, but maybe one day you'll get to hear a snippet from that. I guess someone canceled, and I'm up here, so thank you, whoever that was. This is a testimony that goes back a year about this time. We have all asked God for a sign at one time or another, I think, yeah? And for me, it's always been a sign for direction or discernment. Please, Lord, tell me which way to go. Give me an actual physical sign or an answer. What university should I attend? Should I marry this guy? Should we have kids? Should we move? Should we get a dog? Those kinds of things I've asked many times, looking for a sign. The sign the Lord gave me in those times were the open and closed door kind. So he did surely provide direction. And I also had comfort knowing that whatever my choice was, he would be with me. This time, I wasn't even asking for one. God gave me an unexpected sign just when I needed it on I-35, northbound, last year at this time. And trust me, I've been up and down I-35 many times and never saw what I was about to see. I had just dropped off our youngest of 3 sons for his freshman year at UTSA, and I'd done this scene twice before. We have 2 other boys, and he wasn't going to be far, and he's a confident kid. However, this son gives us good reason to worry. He's a risk taker. He waited until the last minute to register for classes, decide on his living arrangements, get a parking pass. He was going to be driving back and forth each week from San Antonio to Austin. It was all the typical college stuff done rather carelessly. And I knew I had lots to be concerned about with this one. So it was not the first time that I prayed for the Tanaka brothers' protection. The 3 of them and protection have been my common prayer theme for years. Any of you that have been in my small group know that. Nor was it the first time that I prayed in the car. I have learned that this is a perfect time to pray, especially out loud, and I do it quite a bit, even when I'm out walking and on my bike. The prayer was something like, Lord, thank you for this day, for our youngest son starting college, for a fresh start in a new place with new peers. Please protect Peyton in every way, spiritual protection, physical protection. Help him to make the right friends and have the best experiences to help him grow, get into the classes he needs to be in, hopefully make good grades, figure out how to take care of himself with food, exercise, sleep, to be safe and alert when he's driving and traveling home back and forth each week. I offered it all. In fact, I was lost in prayer. Of course, my eyes were on the 5-lane highway as I prayed. But as I prayed, my eyes landed on a tow truck ahead of me in a lane next to mine. While my driving remained safe, this was all that I could see. This was not the exact tow truck, but the tow truck I saw had a back part that was wooden, rugged and wooden. I immediately cried, tears of joy, the kind of tears I most commonly shed. This tow truck was a perfect, absolute reassurance from God regarding Peyton's care. He said to me, "Jill, I have already given my son to die for you. So don't you know that I'll take care of everything else?" I was filled with God's provision, his mercy, and his love for me and my family. I couldn't wait to get home and Google tow truck pictures to see if I'd really saw what I thought I had. What was this cross? And it turns out it's a boom lift, and its purpose is to carry the item that needs recovered. And so this was Jesus carrying me. And this particular tow truck even had a wooden rugged cross boom. Then I couldn't wait to start telling everybody, knowing I hadn't seen things. Clearly, that was all that I needed to know in that instant and forever, that no matter what, Peyton would be okay that academic year and beyond. In fact, my entire family would be okay, and I could give all my concerns and cares to the Lord. He is able and bigger than all that I feel burdened by, and he has already given me everything that I need before the next day even comes. I knew that. But he physically and symbolically showed me that on I-35 that day.
Thank you. Thank you, Jill. God is good all the time, right? We just have to ask and he'll show us. So I want to talk for just a second about these story times. We learn so much about God by hearing what he does in other people's lives. It opens up to us more clearly what he's doing in ours. So there's a reason behind these stories that we do every week, and I think most of you all will agree. You can remember the story every week. Whether you remember what I said or what Jan said, you remember that story. So what we're going to ask you all is to keep praying. If your heart is pounding right now, or if a certain story is being put in your head, but you're thinking, no, that's not that big a deal. That's not significant. I don't need to tell that. Don't ignore that, because someone, the Holy Spirit is telling you, someone needs to hear that story that you think may not affect anybody. It's going to affect somebody in this room. The other thing I want to mention is that y'all may or may not know, we record these talks and put them on the website so people can go back and listen to them if they miss. And we record the stories, but we don't always record the stories. And it's not a big deal if you don't want to hear, if you don't want to be recorded, to just say, "I don't want to be recorded." It's not a big deal at all. So if that's what's keeping you from doing it, you can say it and it'll just be this room who hears it. Anyway, just be in prayer about that. Okay, let me open with a word of prayer. Father, just calm my heart, calm my spirit, fill me with your spirit. Let the words that come out of my mouth be only true. Only what you want these women to hear, and everything else fall to the ground, never to be heard. I lift this morning up to you because you are good. In your son's name I pray, amen. All right, I'm going to start off today with a little bit of apology is not a good way to start. This isn't going to be an apology. This will be a disclaimer. I'm going to go a little bit longer this morning than we're going to traditionally go during the rest of the year during these talks, but there's a reason behind it. I want to sort of walk us again through the beginning of how we're going to do these lessons and why we're doing them this way. So it's something you'll be able to, you know, the more we hear something, the more we remember it. So I'm going to do that, and then we'll get into the lesson. It's not going to be crazy long. I don't think y'all are going to be falling asleep or anything, but I just want you to know they're not going to be this long, because what we also know is that you all learn and get and give more in the small groups than any other time. It's the most important time at Lamplighters is what you all do in small groups. So let's get started. God is good. So this is the first talk of a new and different study, a different way we're doing it. So I'm just going to spend a few minutes. I realize that, you know, Jan and I have been doing this since last spring. And so we're up here, and y'all are back here. And so I just want to take a few steps back and grab you by the hand and pull you up here and show you that it's a safe place to be. So the first thing I want to talk about is this word attribute and what it's going to mean to us throughout this whole year for this study. So this is for all the lessons throughout the whole year. When we talk about an attribute of God's, we are talking about his very essence. It's not just a characteristic of his. It is something that is always true of him, and it's never separated from him. Attributes are not something that God possesses. They are who he is and how he reveals himself to us. God's attributes cannot be divided. Even though we've clearly divided them up this year, you will see with every lesson that they just overlap and they blend together and you cannot separate them out. He has all of them all of the time. Now, this can be difficult for us to understand because of our human nature. We have certain characteristics that we and others use to define ourselves. And some of these characteristics use the same words that we're using in God's attributes, but they have a different meaning when they're applied to us. When we describe people, we tend to use traits or characteristics, qualities or actions. And all of these things are descriptive, but they also change because we're always changing. God's attributes never change. They never contradict each other because he never changes and he never contradicts himself. So are you starting to kind of see the difference here? I think it's a pretty easy explanation on the surface, but what we're going to run into a lot this year is the reminder that there is mystery to our God. There are things we will never know or understand about him until we are face to face with him. And we'll see this a lot more clearly when we do some of the non-communicable attributes. I love this quote from Richard Rohr. If you can define it, it's not God. So I hope this year when you feel frustrated because you can't define God, you can't grab onto it, that you'll remember this statement and that you'll take a great deal of comfort in it. God wants us to know him, and he will show us who he is. It's our understanding that's limited. God is not limited. Our responsibility is to have faith and trust that he is who he tells us he is. It's our faith that's going to carry us when the mystery of God feels overwhelming. And I think it feels overwhelming a lot when you try and grab onto it. And here's another quote that I love from R.C. Sproul, if that's how you pronounce his name. The issue of faith is not so much whether we believe in God, but whether we believe the God we believe in. So let that sink in for a second, and let's just think about this for a minute. God tells us exactly who he is by the Spirit-breathed words of Scripture and through the life of his Son, Jesus Christ. Do we believe him? That's the question. When the world is suffering and our lives are not going the way we planned, do we believe that God is who he tells us he is? Well, the answer to that question, I think, is going to become a whole lot easier for everyone in this room as the year goes by and we get to know more about God and we build a closer personal relationship with him. So that's what I want you all to think about all year long when we do these studies of the attributes. So I'm going to go ahead and sort of move on and get into the lesson. So it's been a while, a few years, not as many years as it should have been, but I realized that my deepest need is always to know God, not just know about Him, but truly know Him and have a personal relationship with Him. I want to keep growing in this relationship as I follow God in my life of faith. I want to know Him better today than I knew Him yesterday. I want to know Him better next year than I know Him this year. Why? Why is that? Well, for me, I can't trust or follow or serve or worship someone I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. The very nature of our faith, what faith is knowing God. To have faith, you have to know who or what you have faith in, right? But how do I know Him if He's a mystery? Well, God tells us exactly who He is in His Word and in the life of Jesus Christ, like I said before, who is the exact manifestation of the Father. And this is two scriptures that prove both of those points, which is all scripture is God-breathed and used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then also, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. The beauty of learning who God is through His word and through His Son is that we become closer to Him in our relationship. And that will lead to desiring to be more like Him in the way we live out our lives. So let's look at the goodness of God. This is a communicable attribute, which means it's something that God wants us to strive to have, to be like. And of course, I hope it goes without saying, we can never be as good as God because He's perfect. But that doesn't mean we're not supposed to keep trying every single day in every single way to achieve His goodness. And I say His goodness because it's not necessarily the way the world describes good. Our definition says that good means that which is morally right, best, and gives what is best, incapable of doing harm. Be sure throughout the year when you kind of wander, when you're doing your lessons, to always go back to this definition. It's going to be a really good definition, an important definition. God is good because He always, under every circumstance, acts up to the highest ideal of that which He Himself is, that which He has taught us to be. So goodness in God means living up to the very best and highest that He knows. It's what He wants for us as well. He doesn't want us to be good so that we can just feel superior to other people or so that we can just check it off a list. He wants us to be good because that's how He created us. He created us in His own image, and He is good. And, you know, we always hear people described as good, and there are a lot of good people. I'm not going to say there aren't. But the difference is that we also have the opposite in us, which is bad or evil. God does not. He alone is only good. There is no evil in Him. So to be good is exactly the opposite of being bad. Duh, right? But what does that mean? Well, to be bad is to know the right thing to do and then not do it. Does that sound like something you would ever do? It does to me. So to be good is to do the best that we know to do every single time. So good is not just being. It's not just a state of mind. It is much more importantly an action. It's doing. Do good things. Now, in another study later on, we're going to learn that God is omniscient. That's another one of these attributes. And that means that He alone knows everything. He knows what is the best. He knows what is the highest good. And because of that, His goodness is beyond question. We cannot question whether God is good or not. His goodness is our perfect example. do I always believe that? I'm going to come back to that in a minute. So in the John scripture today, we see that Jesus took great care to tell us that he was a good shepherd. I am a good shepherd, he says, which in effect also means I'm not a bad one. Bad shepherds neglect their sheep. A good shepherd will never neglect his sheep. In fact, a good shepherd will give his life for the sheep. That's what Jesus says in that story. His ideal of a good shepherd is the shepherd that will protect his sheep even to his own death. Does that sound familiar? Jesus gave us the ideal and then he lived it out. He is our shepherd. He died protecting his sheep. He did what he said he was. There's that action. So if I am a sheep, and if you all are sheep, and the Lord is a good shepherd, how can I feel anything other than safe and secure? Because God is good. Now, did you notice that Jesus repeats this good shepherd story? And that should tell us how important this message is. He wants us to believe this truth about his goodness. He knew how difficult this was going to be for us to believe all the time. He knew how often it was going to look to us that he wasn't really that good a shepherd. I think he was preparing himself for all the times we would ask him, "Are you really good?" I know I've questioned that goodness in my life. Hopefully it doesn't shock you all to hear that. I think I'd be more shocked if y'all were like, "Whoa, you can't do that." So just for a little test here, raise your hand if you have ever been asked or if you have ever asked the question, if God is so good, then why, ... Fill that why in with whatever you want to fill it in. Why do evil things happen? Why do good things happen, bad things happen to good people? Y'all aren't raising your hands. Okay, that's what I expected. I expected every single hand to go up. Thanks for not disappointing me. So how can God be good and still allow sorrow and evil in the world he created, in the lives of the very people he loves? Well, this is the question that's been asked since the beginning of time, I think. And I don't think there's an answer because this goes to the mystery of God. But I will say that we all know and acknowledge that we live in a broken and sinful world. We live in a world that constantly overpromises and underdelivers. It happens so often that we think it's perfectly normal. It's a part of life. And I think what's happened is we've become cynical because of that. We are so used to the lies and the broken promises that we've come to expect them. We think they're normal in life. It's just how we are. But, I want you to hear this, God never, ever overpromises, and he never, ever underdelivers. The problem is that we underbelieve. Because if we don't know him, we will naturally get all kinds of wrong ideas about him. The God who created us is a good God, and since he is a good God, he cannot ordain anything but good things. So how do we reconcile this goodness of God that we know to be truth because he told us it was truth with our lives that often don't feel so good, things that happen to us? Well, what we have to do is we have to do some holy reframing. We have to believe that no matter the circumstances, he is who he says he is, and he cannot be any other way. In Genesis 50:20, it is written, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Remember, this is from the story of Joseph and his brothers. Nothing is impossible with God. He can take what is intended for evil, and he can reweave it for good. He gave us free will, and we abuse that free will so often. But but we don't do anything that he cannot undo or make better. In other words, he can make good come from evil. It may be something we can see and go, yeah, that's what God did. He took that evil and he turned it good. It may be something that we won't understand in this lifetime, that we won't understand until we are face to face with him and he gives us his good word. But no matter which it is, when we believe that God is always good and that he can only do good, we can trust him no matter the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Because God always knows something that we don't know. Only God can see the big picture. We have expectations of how we think things should be, how we want things to be, but we can't know what God knows. So we have to trust that God is in control and that nothing is impossible with him. We have to believe that he is, in fact, protecting us. So since we believe that God is good all the time, how do we address this issue of bad or evil? Well, what I think is that we have a responsibility to bear in all of this. And I want you to be real, hear me exactly as I'm saying this, because there is nothing that we can ever do that will help God be good or to boost his goodness. That's not what I'm talking about. God is good no matter what we do. That is unchangeable. So what would our responsibility be? Well, first, I think we have the responsibility to recognize God's goodness in our life. We get lazy about that. We don't recognize on a daily basis how good God is in our lives. We have to look for it. We have to be aware of it. And sometimes that's really easy, and then sometimes it's much more difficult. The second thing we have to do is we need to be obedient to him. And we need to work on imitating his goodness and making it a part of how we live in him every day. We can't just be good. We have to do good. It's an action. It's not a state of mind. Now, that sounds like it's really hard. In fact, that sounds like something we probably can't do on our own, right? Well, who's there to help us? Holy Spirit, that's right. We've been given a counselor. We don't have to do this on our own. The truth of the matter is we can't do this on our own. And trying, I think, at least in my life, trying to do it on my own is what gets me in so much trouble. So for my little personal example today, I'm going to tell you all that so far in my life, I feel like I've had three really distinct time periods in my life. My first 20 years were pretty much what I would refer to as idyllic. Of course, there were problems. Of course, bad things happened. But when I look back at that first 20 years of my life, I can just see God's goodness like a blanket just covering me. And then came my second 20 years, and everything was really different. Life became a very difficult struggle. It was painful. And I made choices on my own that were not good choices. Some of them were pretty disastrous. It was a really difficult 20 years, and so often I felt totally alone and abandoned in many different ways. Now, I'm in this third 20 years, and I can look back on that second 20 years, and I can see that I was blessed and protected by God's goodness more times than I realized. He did redeem so many of my bad choices, and his goodness blessed me and redeemed me. So now I'm in what I call my third period of my life. I don't know how many periods I'm going to have. I'm on the third right now. And I'm trying to look for and ask for God's goodness in my life. I have a much better relationship with the Holy Spirit, and I rely heavily on his presence in my life and his guidance in my decision making, which was new for me. I didn't do that for a big portion of my life. And I do it most of the time now. But because I'm not good all the time like God is, I still make plenty of mistakes. So I'm going to tell a recent story about God's goodness in my life. So I told you about that second 20 years. I was in a marriage that was not a healthy marriage. And God redeemed that failed marriage in many, many ways. So back in April, I found out that a good friend from that 20-year period when I lived in another city, who also happens to be related to my ex-husband, had moved to Austin and had been living here for about a year. Well, when I heard it, I was shocked and I was deeply hurt because she hadn't contacted me. And I sat in those feelings for a good long time, just stewing in them, right? Until that hurt started to turn into anger. How could she have been here that long and not contacted me? We were friends. So I called my sister. I needed someone to talk to about it and told her about it. But other than that, I didn't really do anything. I just got angrier and angrier. And so that was months ago. And so this past August, again, I was talking to my sister, and the subject came up. And she said, "Are you still talking about that? Don't you love it when you turn to someone for consolation and affirmation and they call you on your bad behavior?" Well, that's exactly what my sister did. She said, "Lynn, something is wrong here. You got to figure this out and you got to get over it because this is ridiculous." So I got an idea. Now, this is 5 months have gone by, right? I decided I'd pray about it. So here's how I prayed. "God, please help me stop dwelling on this. Help me move forward and accept that I'm no longer in a relationship with this person, and that's okay. Because, you know, she didn't contact me, and she knows I've been here, so she doesn't want a relationship. And I know she's still really close to my ex-husband, so she's probably just, she's in that camp now, and I can't deal with this anymore. So just take all that away from me." Great prayer, right? Even after recognizing after 5 minutes that I, 5 months that I needed to pray, my prayer was just telling God what I wanted, telling him what he was supposed to do, because I, of course, know what's best. Well, it turns out I don't know what's best, and he didn't pay any attention to that prayer because he had other plans for me. And I started hearing what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. And I didn't like it. I didn't want to hear it. I kept getting poked and told that I needed to contact her. That wasn't part of my plan. Certainly wasn't part of my prayer. How could it be my responsibility? She knew I had been here. She didn't call me. Clearly it was on her to reach out. The end. But I wasn't let off the hook. I kept getting this message that it was my responsibility. But now I realized I had a whole new problem. I was afraid. I was afraid that I was going to be rejected and it was going to cause me more pain. And I didn't want to risk any more pain. So this daily conversation with God was getting to be a real distraction in my life. So I finally surrendered because I didn't know what else to do. But then I couldn't figure out how to do it. I wasn't going to show up on her doorstep. If I called her, she could screen my call. She could not answer. So I wouldn't know what was happening. There was far too much to try and do in a text. So one day, the Holy Spirit pointed out to me that I had been thinking about this in completely the wrong way, from the wrong perspective. It was a me perspective. Ever been there? I this, me that. My responsibility to obedience was not about me. It was about him. Since God is good all the time, he wants us to share that goodness with others. Remember, good is an action. So I finally sat down and I wrote an email welcoming her to Austin and inviting her to Lamplighters if she was looking for a Bible study. That was it. No expectation of a reply or a reconnection, just an invitation to study God's word and learn who he is. But I can tell you, it was really hard for me to click that send button. And it took me probably 15 minutes. And I finally did it. And I can tell you instantly, I felt such a peace and such a relief. And it didn't matter to me what happened next. Because God is good. So do you want to know what happened? Well, she called me, and we talked for an hour, and it was just like it had always been. And we made plans to get together, which we actually did last week. And we sat and talked for 4 hours, and we reconnected, and we learned about what all had happened in those years that we had been apart, and it blessed me in ways that I never could have imagined, touched me in ways that I never could have had happen on my own. And we even talked about my marriage to her relative, and it was a gentle reminder to me that God had been good to me even in those years. So the question that I'm now trying to learn to ask God in difficult circumstances is, what are you trying to teach me? He doesn't let me down. It's my expectations of what he will do that let me down. Since I am imperfect, I will misunderstand. But when I don't understand, if it doesn't feel like God is good, then I choose to believe that it's me who's gotten it wrong. It's me who doesn't fully understand what the Holy Spirit is telling me. It's me who can't see the good that is always there because God is always good. I think that it's impossible for anyone who really knows God to sustain any of these difficult and uncomfortable thoughts about him. We'll have plenty of times when we question God and where he is in our lives, and he wants us to do that because that leads us closer to him. We're going to have pain and we're going to have heartache in this life, and there are going to be struggles all along the way as we make our way through this world. We're going to experience sorrows and trials, but through them all, the soul that knows God and can turn to him and believe he is who he says he is will find peace in him no matter the circumstances. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, we are told that, I don't remember if I did this, yes, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. It's greater than we can even imagine because he is a good God. A knowledge of God is going to transform our lives. It's not about knowing ourselves or what we do or how we feel or why we feel the way we feel. It's only a question of knowing God and getting to know who God is and what he does and what he feels. Now, knowing ourselves can help us work things out that separate us from God, but it doesn't bring us true peace. True peace will only come from knowing God, believing God, and staying in a close relationship with God. And I'm absolutely certain that coming to know him as he is, as he tells us he is the only thing that will bring us unfailing comfort and peace in this broken world. So I'm going to end with something I recently read, and I'm sorry that I couldn't find who said it, but it goes something like this. The less we look for God, the less we see him. And the less we see him, the less we look for him. So I encourage you today to look for God in all circumstances because God is always good. So say it again with me. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you are a good, good God and that you created us to be like you. Thank you for showing us who you are. Thank you for telling us who you are. And thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit so we don't have to do it on our own. I lift this time up to you. I lift the small group time up to you. And I ask that each woman be blessed with stories of just how good you are. I ask this in your son's name. Amen.